Good morning, Bucknutters. It is Tuesday, September 24th, 2019. I am Dan Rubin. This is the Bucknuts Morning 5 and Change. If it's Tuesday, that can mean only one thing. Dwayne Long is here with his own brand of wit and wisdom. Dwayne, how goes it?
Starting to get some better temperatures, and it's football season, and Ryan Day is kicking ass.
That is a succinct statement of the day. We're going to expound on that a little bit here. Some current events to deal with, two news items off the top, one recruiting, one semi-recruiting, I guess. Let's start with the semi-recruiting because safety Isaiah Pryor has entered the transfer portal, so he's going to be getting recruited sort of over the next however much time. I had high hopes for the IMG Academy product, Georgia native. Things just didn't seem to click for him here. Last year, he got on the field early at the safety spot. It was a debacle. Your thoughts on Isaiah Pryor's decision to leave the program?
I think that it's in his best interest, and it's in our best interest. Transfer portal is not a bad thing. It can work out. It can be a win-win. More often than not, I believe it's going to be. He was falling down the depth chart, Dan, and we saw him last year. And, you know, you and I went back and forth on it a little bit. Just where is he going, you know? I'm watching him take attack angles, and I'm going, wait a minute. The guy was there 15 minutes ago where you're going at. He just never really got it, you know, cutting people off, taking the right angles. He missed tackles. He just was not the player that I saw on film. I thought it was a great get when he committed to the Buckeyes, and especially to go down into Georgia and take him out of there. But this is working out. He obviously, you know, they had the thing with when they released the depth chart where you see two players bracketed. And he was bracketed with Proctor, who came on the field first. That settles that. And Proctor was the first on the field. Proctor has an interception. It should have had two more. Dropped them. Made the right read, broke on the ball, then dropped the football. So he's obviously an upgrade. Let the kid go somewhere he's going to play. He's not going to play here.
I could not agree more. I was fooled. I was really excited when they got him. My guess is he's just not sudden enough, and it's probably an undersized outside linebacker rather than a safety. Hopefully he finds a spot where they can develop him. It's happened before. Guys leave here and do well in other spots, obviously, so we'll keep an eye out on that. We've always kept an eye out on running back recruiting. It seems like Ohio State has danced with almost every in-state standout, and now we learn they have offered Mayan Williams, a running back from Winton Woods, uber-productive high school career, having a great senior season as well. Your thoughts on the offer?
It just comes out of the blue. Well, first I wanted to say about Pryor, I projected him as moving the linebacker coming out of high school. He's really best positioned, a strong safety, but that, you know, an in-the-box guy, but that's just not a position that is in the modern college game. Anyway, the Williams, it just, you know, he must be having a monster senior year. I have not been tracking him. That they would come out of the blue like this with an offer to him. Like you said, he's just so productive as a high school back, and he's definitely got some skills. I just wonder if, you know, he's the kind of back that could run between the tackles at this level. I'm not sure about that. Maybe we're going to see. He's committed to Iowa State, so that he would switch up and come back here, it wouldn't be a real surprise. But I've got guys higher on my board, and just the timing of the offer is a surprise. Like I said, maybe he's having just a monster senior year. We'll see.
We will track that. Bill Kerlick, Bill Green, Steve Wolfong, all over it. It is very interesting that they've come around late on Williams. I don't know how I feel about it. I'm not wowed by the tape. Would love to have an in-state guy come here and thrive. I'm not sure it's mine, Williams. Speaking of thriving, the Buckeyes, good Lord, over the weekend, the win over Miami after the brief malaise to start the game was a drill on offense. Very impressive. One of the things I think Ohio State's not getting enough credit for, and as I look at other teams that are struggling, Michigan in particular, it just seems like guys at Ohio State get better year to year. I've been on the Ben Victor bandwagon. Who are some of the guys that have jumped out to you this year that have really gotten a lot better?
Oh, my goodness. Every linebacker on the roster. You know, look at what we're seeing. We're seeing Pete Warner is playing great football. Now, we expected Malik Harrison to be as good as he's been. Tuff Borland is better. He's just better. He's not, I think it may be time. I thought he's had a good season. Last weekend, it wasn't his greatest. And when you've got physical talents like Baron Browning, who is really looking like a kid, you want to talk about somebody who has improved. You know, we're trying to move him to defensive end, move him somewhere. But right now, whenever he's on the field, you notice him. He's a big athletic kid, and now he's running to the football and making plays. You know, those guys are really so much better. Damon Arnette, what in the world is going on there? This is a kid that, you know, Chris Carter talked him out of going to the NFL. He knew that was not a good thing. It was not going to be in Damon Arnette's best interest. Now Damon Arnette is probably going to be a second-day guy. If he does what he's done so far for the rest of the year, Damon Arnette is going to be a second, third-round guy. No worse than a third round. No way. So those are the guys that really leap out at me is, the defense. They don't really have anywhere to go but up. But look at the difference in those players right there. And look at the difference in the defense because of them.
It's also just an awesome recruiting tool. Anybody can go into Chase Young's living room and tell him we can get to the NFL because Chase Young probably could have gotten a few NFL snaps as a 17-year-old. But when guys come to the program and stick it out and still make the NFL and get paid, your Terry McLaurin's, your Paris Campbell's, like you mentioned, Damon Arnette, I had him written down as one of the most improved players on the team. Okay, let's talk about it. Nebraska, the biggest test of the season so far this Saturday on the road in Lincoln. If it was head-to-head on a neutral field, Ohio State would be, a massive favorite. The fact that it's at Lincoln, I think, gives the Huskers, a much better shot. This is a kitchen sink game for them. Your thoughts on the matchup, Ohio State at Nebraska?
Well, on paper, we should destroy them, maybe not as bad as we did to Miami of Ohio. We should dismantle this team. But, they just don't have the personnel. But they are going to be jacked. This is the signature win. This is the win that would put Scott Frost, all the hype, the hometown boys come back home. This is what they've been looking for. It's like Jim Harbaugh going back to Michigan. But you can't tell me that everybody in Nebraska, as soon as the schedule was announced, they started pointing a finger at that game and saying, that one right there, that puts us back on the map. Nebraska's been down for a while, Dan. This was a legendary program. And it just kind of fell apart. I think coming to the Big Ten, they chased the money, okay. But they gave up their recruiting base. They gave up Texas, which was important to them. They could go national. I mean, Tommy Frazier, I think he came out of Florida.
He did.
They could go get players from all over the place.
And Lawrence Phillips is from California.
Yeah, that's the one I was actually trying to come up with his name. They went national. They did do like Ohio State, which is, just assume the entire nation was their recruiting background or backyard. But they would go pluck players. They'd get five or six players from around the country. They're down. They do not have an in-state recruiting base. They got to do something that makes people go, Nebraska, what about Nebraska? And then their dad tells them Nebraska is big time, or at least was. So they are going to be jacked for this game. I think we got to be ready to come out and see some things we have not seen on film, things that they've been saving that they'd like to do. things they'd like to take advantage of, because now they're starting to be filmed out there in the Buckeyes. And I think that they're going to come out and try to get up on us and get the crowd involved and see if they can pull out a win here. I think we win this football game. I think if we handle that early smack in the teeth, that we'll pull away from them. But this is going to be a game that's going to tell us a lot about Ohio State. It's going to tell us a lot about Nebraska.
This was the game I had circled in the offseason as the potential trap game, the most obvious potential loss on the schedule. Now that we're here, I don't want to sound overconfident, but I just don't see it. Ohio State has been just a well-oiled machine. I don't see the capability of Nebraska to score enough points. We appreciate Dwayne stopping by. It's been an eventful time. It's been a winning time. Have a good one, Bucknutters.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.